Today, Kenneth Copeland explains why it's not true that God puts diseases on people, and teaches how the compassionate work of Jesus proved God's will to heal all. Then you'll hear an encouraging testimony of his healing power, coming up on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Now turn with me quickly to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses, the first 14 verses, actually, first 14 verses, are the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of God. Now, I want you to notice how this is translated. It shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently into the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. See, God had already blessed. All you had to do was do what he said, and it come on you. He didn't have to put it on you. It was there in that covenant. Now, go to the 15th verse and notice how this is translated. But it'll come to pass, if you'll not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command this day, all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. You get out from under the protection of that covenant by being disobedient to it, and you just walk head on into the curse. The curse didn't have to come from anywhere. It was already there. Are you listening to me? It's here tonight. Yeah, it's just waiting on you. All you have to do is decide to do something stupid. And God won't commission it. But you got a will of your own. You can do whatever you want to do. Yes. And he'll tell you. But if you're just bullheaded and you're just going to go ahead and do it anyway, boy, the devil's out there waiting on you. Yes. I mean, he's out there waiting on you. Yeah. God doesn't have to make you sick. You'll get there on your own.
That's right.
Besides that, he couldn't make you sick. How's God going to make you sick? Is he going to call you sick? No, he sent his word and it healed him. Is he going to put it on you with his hands? No, he laid his hands on you and you get healed. He doesn't have any sickness. He doesn't have any. All sickness is under the curse. And I'm going to prove it to you right from the scripture right now. There are those that believe that God is making people sick. That's a lie from hell. It had never been true. Well, I don't know whether it's God's will to heal me or not. Spend some time in the Word. Just follow the ministry of Jesus. He never turned anybody down. Everybody that came to him, he healed them all. The only ones that didn't get it were the ones that didn't believe what he preached in his own hometown. Amen. Now listen. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Sickness is under the curse. It was the curse punishment for breaking the law. The first five books of the Bible called the law, the Pentateuch. Amen. For that covenant, the blessing and the law is written. Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Amen. So Jesus, the will of God in action, the will of God for all men for all time. You remember the leper that came up to him and said, Sir, I know you can. If you will, you make me well. He believed, he had faith in the fact that he could do it. Obviously, he had heard that he could. So that had generated faith. But he hadn't heard whether he would or not. He didn't know who was getting and who wasn't. Now think about it a minute. He was not allowed to associate with the people that were getting it. He wasn't able to get out there in those meetings where Jesus was preaching. Now, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. He fell out on the ground in front of him. And look what it said. It said, Jesus touched him. Now what? Come on now. I mean, here's this man with this stinking, nasty, filthy, running, pus-filled pox all over him. So filthy and nasty with clothes that no telling how long it'd been since he'd been clean. Nobody wants anything to do with him. No wonder he said, I know you can. Yeah. Me? Something like me? What moved Jesus? Compassion. Oh. And he touched him. Do you know what that meant? That meant that he had to get down here on the ground, because that's where the man was, and get him by the face and say, I will. I will. Nobody had touched this man in a long, long time. But compassion. And it was enough when Jesus said, I will. And the leprosy departed. He touched him. Be clean. It left. There was enough faith in those words for the man to take his healing. Amen. And he got up well. Hallelujah. What a thrill. Absolute what a thrill. What a thrill. What a thrill. Now, if we look at we started with the 15th verse. Now, look at that 22nd verse. The Lord shall smite you with a consumption. Well, now how could that be? He doesn't have any consumption. With fever, with inflammation, extreme burning, the sword, with blasting, mildew, and pursue you till you perish. Well, we just got through seeing the proper translation of that. Now let me read you a quote from Dr. Robert Young, the author of Young's Analytical Concordance. Now, he wrote a book called Hints to Bible Interpretation. It's out of print. I'm searching for one. I'm believing God for one. And anybody that comes up with one, whoa, let me know. Now, they used to have the outline of the book, not the book, but the outline in front of the Young's Concordance. And finally, the editors took that out. But the quotes are not in there. It was just an outline, and that's all you can get if you Google it. You just get the outline. In the book, Dr. Young said, the words put and brought are from the same Hebrew word. They are used in the permissive sense and not in the causative sense. At the time the King James Bible was translated, and there's a lot of translations that came off the King James and particularly out of the Greek from which the King James was translated, Hebrew was a dead language. And they didn't realize that it had a permissive verb. Now, those first verses are translated accordingly. And if you follow that down through there, If you refuse to hearken, what's going to happen? The consumption's going to come on you. Inflammation's going to come on you. Amen. And God has to permit it. Let's look at Isaiah 45. I know I'm taking some time here, but I'm building your faith with the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 45. And I want you to notice the seventh verse. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God doesn't create evil. He's not the author of darkness. Amen. But now, Dr. Young uses this as an example in his book, which simply says, I make peace and I allow evil. Well, of course he does. You got a free will. You can do, anybody under that covenant could do whatever they will to do. But if they did, that curse come on you. All right. Look at this one. Let's turn to, this is a good one. Exodus 15. Exodus 15, 6. Are you learning anything tonight? Yes. Now, this is not the only way to prove this. You can go all, what happened when God delivered Israel out of Egypt? When the scripture said he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that when you get into the scripture concerning that, he allowed his heart to continue to harden. He didn't do anything to stop it. He couldn't. A king had his own will going. Amen. And what happened? Did God kill the firstborn? No, the destroyer did. The destroyer did. It wasn't an angel from God. It was a destroying. It was a devil. God had him and he wouldn't let him cross the line. And check it out for yourself. Don't make me do all your studying for you. Amen. And you can check out references like that all the way, particularly through the Old Covenant. There are references to it that'll go back and reference to what took place here in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and point out the fact that the destroyer did it. It's good stuff. What happened to Job? Well, you know, the devil tried to get God to do it, and God refused to do it. Well, God turned him over to the devil. I know you've never read Job. Well, you know, after all, I'm just like poor old Job. Well, you need to get double then. That's right. Everything. No, the first thing God said to Satan was, behold. That's not like, behold. It's not one of them Christmas card words, you understand? It means, look, the devil ain't as big a deal as most people have been brainwashed to think he is. He don't know everything. And God said, look, he is in your power. Job did it. He's the one that did it. And there ain't no way God's going to lie or cover for you. I can see you real thrilled over this. there was only one sin involved in the whole book of Job. One. The accuser accused Job to God's face. You touch him and he'll curse you to your face. That was the only sin that he was accused of, and that's the only one. And all the other things, man, he made some really goofed up decisions and bad decisions and all that, but none of that was held against him because that's not what the devil accused him of. He accused him of cursing God to his face, and his wife tried to get him to do it. And Job had it on his mind. He was afraid his children were doing it. Well, that's the only way the devil can get you to do that is get you to thinking about it, get you to worrying about it, get your wife to worry. She'll tell you to curse God and die. She's one who opened the door for the devil to kill her children. Well, he could have repented before he got to the last chapter. Because when he repented, God turned his captivity. It wasn't God that was doing it. It was the devil that had him captive. For 9 months to a year, he was having a hard time. But brother, when it was over, and God doubled everything he had, and the devil was done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. Exodus. Okay. Chapter 15. And look at the 26th verse. 15:26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put, you remember the word that Dr. Young talked about, the word put, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought. Now, put and brought are the same Hebrew words upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you. Now, let me read again what Dr. Young said. The words put and brought are from the same word. They're used in the permissive sense and not in the causative sense. I will allow none of these diseases to come on you that I had to allow to come on the Egyptians. He didn't put them on anybody. Hallelujah. Well, let's hit the bottom line here, and then I've got an instruction from the Lord. 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, I'm coming to one verse. Now you need to read all of these, 22, 27 through 29, 35. Let's look at verse 61. Deuteronomy 28, 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you? No, that's put and brought. The Lord will allow to come on you till you're destroyed or until you repent. Hallelujah. Now, oh, glory to God. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, it gets so thrilling hard to turn the pages. Glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are redeemed from sickness. We are redeemed from spiritual death. We are redeemed from poverty. Glory to God. It's shouting time in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Project deadlines, birthday party, yard sale, workout, family time. There are only so many hours in the day. If your life is getting in the way of your relationship with God, it's time to make a change. A spiritual checkup package helps you set your priorities in order. Life-changing, practical resources by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland teach you how to get out of spiritual burnout to a faith-filled life of health, peace, and strength. Gloria Copeland shares her experiences and personal strategy to get your life on track in time for a spiritual checkup. Kenneth Copeland takes you through 8 steps to live a vibrant, faith-filled life and stir yourself up. His teaching, Faith-Filled Words Dominate the Law of Sin and Death, shows you how to change anything in your life through active faith in God's Word. Don't let the challenges of life get you down. Change your life and keep your faith growing. Make God, His Word, and faith your top priority today. Kenneth Copeland Ministries wants to bless you. Order a spiritual checkup package today and get all 3 products free. Take advantage of receiving this free radio offer by calling us toll-free at 800-600-7395 or by going to our website at kcm.org/TV special. Keep yourself on the path of God's plan for your faith with a spiritual checkup package. Order your free copy today.
Karen Siska Creel is a registered nurse who currently serves as an administrator for a large healthcare system. She is also a loving wife, mother, and a committed longtime partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
I accept the Lord into my life in 1987, September the 5th, and I actually started watching Kenneth Copeland. It was that following spring in 1988. I was flipping the channels and saw this preacher come on, and he just did nothing but preach right out of the Word of God, and I just was hooked. And I started watching it every day after that and just really, truly have followed the ministry since then, have watched his daily broadcast, have gone to his victory campaign in the D.C. area, and have been a partner ever since. I actually hit my head. I had a concussion. And when I hit my head, I also, the neck was involved in it with emotion, and I had a whiplash injury. So from there, what happened is I was out of work for a while and recovering from that. And I had a minor surgery because some of the nerves were being pinched in my neck. So they just went and kind of cleaned around there, snipped a couple of the small ones. It was a very minor surgery. It wasn't anything extensive. All of a sudden, one day, I was sitting in my chair and I started having a sharp pain in my side and was a little short of breath. And it kept getting worse and worse. And I just thought, oh, I pulled a muscle. It's nothing. And I didn't pay much attention to it. The next morning, I woke up and I really had a hard time breathing, and I was, more than that, I was in a lot of pain. And I made an appointment with my doctor, and when she saw me right away, and she said to me, I think you have a blood clot in your lung, a pulmonary embolism. And I went, what? And so she did an EKG to make sure my heart was okay. And then she sent me down immediately to have a chest X-ray, a CAT scan done with contrast, so they could look to see what was happening with the lungs. Then a little while later, they called me back, and the doctor said to me, I want to show you this chest X-ray. He said, do you see this whole screen that's black? He said, that's your lungs. And there should be, because of the contrast that goes into the blood, there should be white going all through your lungs to show where the blood is flowing. He said, your lungs are completely black. You have no blood flowing through your lungs. He said, you need to get to the emergency room right now. So we went to the emergency room, and they immediately admitted me and started hooking me up and giving me blood thinners. And actually right then is where my doctor called me on my private phone and said, Karen, looking at the CAT scan, they also have discovered that you have clots in your liver. Well, this spirit kicked in first. And I know as a nurse that, you know, a pulmonary emboli to your lungs can be fatal, but that's not gonna happen to me. Because when you get grounded and rooted in faith, so much so, that is the first thing that comes out. And so the other things were secondary. The hematologist came in to see me 4 days later in the hospital, and he had said, you know, the blood clots in your lungs can dissolve and will over time dissolve, but sometimes the blood clots in your liver don't dissolve. And depending upon where the clots are, they could cause liver damage, permanent liver damage. I went home and I prayed about it. I prayed with my eyes, my church to pray for me, and I, of course, contacted Kenneth Copeland Ministries, their prayer line. And so we stood in agreement with it, and I went to go get my sonogram done of my liver.
The sonogram revealed that the clots that had been identified in Karen's liver just 3 weeks earlier were completely gone, and that the liver was healthy. Karen and Ralph were encouraged and continued to stand and believe for a good report from the lung scan still to come.
I went through the whole entire test, and the doctor came out and the radiologist and looked at me and said, "You had blood clots in your lungs?" And I said, "Massive blood clots in my lungs." And he said, "You would never know that looking at your scan." He said, "Your lungs are absolutely perfect." And I said, "Well, what about any infarction? Is there any tissue damage?" He said, "No, your lungs are perfect. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that you ever had a blood clot." And the nurse turned to me and said, "That's a miracle." And I said, "I'll receive it, I'll take that." I said, "Amen." And that's why it was a true blessing to be hooked up with a ministry and to be partnershiping and to watch the daily broadcast, because that fed that into my soul. The end result is much better than you could ever imagine it to be. So in your wildest dreams, if you had asked me in May, you know, what is the best story that you could possibly think, end result to all of this, what could it possibly be? And I don't know if I ever would have come up with something great as God had said, has made it happen. There's no evidence, all gone, everything's perfect, and you're discharged. I mean, what a great ending to the story is that? And that's how he is. He gives, he exceeds my expectations. So that's why I wanted to tell my story and say, yes, it does happen. And miracles happen all the time. And it happened to me.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
There's no way that God gave you a whole bucket full of faith and gave me a teaspoonful. No. Hey, we've got the same faith that Peter was operating in. We've got the same faith that Peter and John used at the beautiful gate.
September 16th through 17th, get connected at Living Victory Orlando at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel in Orlando, Florida. September 22nd through 24th, Word Explosion with the Copelands and guests in Columbia, South Carolina, with special benefits for veterans and military personnel. October 14th through 15th, join the Copelands at the 2016 Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela. November 10th through 12th, the Copelands invite you to the 2016 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available free on DVD, CD, or digital download, MP3 or MP4. Call 800-600-7395 or go to kcm.org/TV special and request your free copy. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's free TV offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. This is the time for miracles. Receive all God has for you in the great year.